tomorrow night at 8 on PBS.
It's time for the Monday Morning Business News Analysis. Andy Foldenauer joins us from RBC Wealth Management, sitting in today for Brian Ford. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Wayne.
Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, world didn't come to an end, so here we are.
Right. I guess there was some doubt as to whether we'd go on this morning. Well, the stock market finished lower for the third straight week last week. Any cause for concern?
Yeah, that's right. Stocks were slightly lower for the week as they attempted to hold their ground in the face of mounting evidence that the U.S. and global economies are slowing down. It's unclear if we are just experiencing a brief growth scare or if that is the start of a deeper downturn. There is no doubt that what are referred to as the leading economic indicators have weakened recently. And while it's easy to focus on the U.S. data, we are equally watching China as the key swing factor. China has been growing at an extremely fast rate for the past several years, and their government has been recently taking steps to cool down their economy as well as fight inflation problems of higher food costs and energy prices. The effectiveness of its policies and strategy could be the ultimate determinant of the global economy's fate. If China slows down too quickly, it could lead to a further downturn in both commodities and stocks. Our expectation is that China will achieve a soft landing where it doesn't have material negative impacts on the global markets, and the fears of a greater slowdown eventually fade away. One of the bigger and more interesting stories of the week was the initial public offering, or IPO, of online professional networking firm LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the first large social media company that has become publicly traded, and its debut did not disappoint. The IPO was priced for $45 a share on the market open on Thursday, but it quickly more than doubled in price. And Wayne, based on its most recent closing price, the company is now valued somewhere around a whopping $9 billion.
Hmm. Well, do you feel that valuation is warranted?
Well, you know, this IPO did give me flashbacks to the late 1990s with the tech and telecom boom, where it seemed that any new company that had .com at the end of its name was able to go public and see its shares multiply in value overnight. While LinkedIn is a market leader and a very useful site for both individuals and companies, it is tough to discern how a $9 billion valuation is warranted on a company with so much less in profit and sales. Analysts have pointed out that one of the problems with LinkedIn's IPO is that it offered just a little portion of its stock, roughly about 7%. That little taste was all investors needed, as they have long been hungry to invest in anything that is social media related on the web. With LinkedIn being the first prominent U.S. social networking company to go public, investors were quick to participate. Some analysts are even going as far to suggest that the number of shares offered to the public were artificially constrained in order to inflate the value of the shares trading this past week. This would serve the dual purpose of publicizing LinkedIn as a company, as well as firing up the IPO market and creating an appetite for future deals. This is a questionable tactic that was used by investment bankers back in the late 1990s dot-com craze, because eventually when the company offers more shares to the marketplace as a secondary offering, it puts downward pressure on the price per share.
Mm-hmm. We have about 2 minutes to go. Well, what does that mean for the IPO market and other companies that might be looking to go public?
Well, undoubtedly, we think that LinkedIn's recent success will only spark more activity, especially among internet companies. There's clearly a strong interest in social media and e-commerce companies like Twitter, Facebook, and Groupon, as well as other smaller, fast-growing companies with similar characteristics. We speculate that because of the attractive valuation that LinkedIn received, it will persuade many of its peers to take advantage of the momentum. But upcoming IPO offerings are not limited to the internet and social media sector. We expect to see a steady introduction from companies in all different sectors. Actually, just this past week also was the debut of commodities trading giant Glencore, which was the United Kingdom's largest IPO ever. Remember, Wayne, the IPO market was more or less non-existent for a couple of years during the market downturn, as investors did not have the appetite for risk of investing in newly traded companies. As a result, the pipeline of companies that are looking to come to the marketplace is as strong as it has been in years, with a large supply of more mature companies that should do well after becoming publicly traded. Overall, an active IPO market is a good sign that the investor appetite for risk is alive and well.
Mm-hmm. Just a little over a minute now. The jobless rate in Virginia fell to 6.1% in April, much better than the national average.
That's right. Virginia continues to show signs of strength as Virginia's unemployment rate dropped slightly in April for the third straight month. April's unemployment rate typically improves because firms and organizations are hiring in preparation for the tourist season. Adjusting for this seasonal improvement, the rate currently is at 6.1%, which is well below the record high of 7.1% in April of 2010. An encouraging note is the gains in jobs was rather consistent among many sectors and types of businesses and not just one or two areas, which means the local broader economy is gaining traction and slowly improving. And as you mentioned, the national unemployment rate is currently at 9%, with our neighboring state, North Carolina, just reporting their rate is at 9.5%. Part of the reason for the difference is the state of Virginia has regularly been recognized as a top state for business, winning regular accolades from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, U.S. News and World Report, CNBC, and many others. This business-friendly environment does not go unnoticed by companies both small and large and bodes well for the labor force here in the state.
Andy, thanks a lot for sitting in today for Brian Ford.
Thank you, Wayne.
Andy Foldenauer from RBC Wealth Management. Time now is 8:40.